To the scriptures for our first reading, and we'll find that in Psalms 58 and 59. Psalm 58, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. To the chief musician, Altaskit, Miktam of David. Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces, as a snail which melteth. Let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his hands in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Psalm 59, to the chief musician Altaskit, Miktam of David, when Saul sent, and they watched the house to kill him. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me and behold. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, they say, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength, I will wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. And may God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So two psalms, really sort of drawn together, I suppose, in our reading today as imprecatory psalms. We hear those imprecations where the psalmist rises up, in this case David, and will call upon the Lord to judge those who rise up against God, who rise up against himself and then his people. And what is one of the main ways that you rise up against the Lord? You rise up against his people. When you begin to persecute the people of God, not for their own sin, notice David was careful to say that, but for their following the Lord, for their obedience to him, or their desired obedience to him, well, you make yourself an enemy of the Lord himself. And so David does call for imprecations. And again, I will recommend to you the short book by the Reverend James Adams, called The War Psalms of the Prince of Peace. If you've not yet read that, and you want to study the reasoning of imprecations in the Psalter, that is a wonderful little read, about 165 or 70 pages, as I recall, not that long, but very, very profitable. All right, so let's go ahead and dive in then to Psalm 58. Notice we have three terms in the title: to the chief musician, Altaskit, Miktam of David. None of those are unfamiliar to us. We've heard about them before. To the chief musician tells us that the Psalms were written for public worship in all times. They were delivered to that head of the Levitical choir in David's day, and they continue in the worship of God through the commandment of not only the prophets, but the apostles as well. So then we move on to the second, Altaskit. Do not destroy is how that literally ought to be interpreted or translated. Do not destroy. It's an interesting thing that in a psalm where the psalmist calls for the destruction of the wicked, that the psalm tune itself or the title over the psalm should be Do Not Destroy. And yet it is. And so, really, we believe that the do not destroy has to do with God's glory in the earth. That God's glory would not be destroyed in the earth. Now, we know it's impossible to destroy God's glory. What we're talking about is his manifest glory, right? That God's glory would be seen in the salvation of his people as he rises up in their defense and he brings down those who would come against the people of God and against the name of God. So, in the destruction of the wicked, then, there is the salvation of God's people, which leads to their not being destroyed. And then finally, a miktam of David. Miktam is what we've called before a golden psalm. That is, it is worthy and weighty and something to be treasured. All right, so that's the psalm title. Now we have at the beginning, and I have that as verses 1 through 5 in the first section. First of all, there is a contrast between the proud judges who think themselves the court, the congregation, the hall of judgment. But the psalmist calls them, ye sons of men, which is tantamount to you erring ones, right? Those of you that are of the earth rather than of heaven. Their judgments are not right. In fact, they are judging against the upright, against the doctrines and commandments of God. So this sons of men, then this men of the earth, note that then that position is no guarantee of uprightness. We are bound to respect the office, although sometimes those office holders show themselves very unworthy of honor. So notice that they are wicked in their hearts. They may have a position, they may have an office, but they are wicked in heart. And this is especially egregious, isn't it? Remember what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 23, speaking about rulers. He said, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And this one, he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises. It's that kind of leadership, that kind of government in every echelon of government. Doesn't matter if it's the family, the church, the state, if you're a business owner and you have employees under your charge, in every position of authority. We must rule in the fear of God. God is the ultimate authority. For those of you that could not make it last Wednesday night, that's one of the things that we prayed for, that every particular position of authority in the world might bow the knee to the one true authority, God Himself. There are mediate authorities, but they are brought before the judgment seat of God as to how they've administered those that authority or those positions of authority. So notice, because they have wickedness in their heart, that it works out into their hands. What a great and scriptural principle to remind ourselves of, right? If we keep the fountain clear, its issue will be clear. You remember that from a few weeks back when we were studying in Proverbs chapter 4. Guard thy heart, or keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow are the issues of life. Keep the fountain pure, and that which flows out of it will also remain pure. And then notice that this wickedness is innate. It is from the womb. We must recognize that those who occupy positions of authority, including your pastor, are fallen people. We are fallen. We are corrupt. And so we must do then what the Lord has put into our hands by a diligent use of means to work against those corruptions rather than to, you know, slide on downstream with them. And then finally, note that they will not be pacified no matter how peaceably they are addressed. They are like snakes that cannot be charmed. They are like animals, if you will. This is a, some might consider it insulting, right? But it's not insulting. It's truth. It's truth. Who are we minus the sweet influences of the gospel? Who are we minus the Word of God? Who are we? We must remember that. We must never get ourselves so haughty or uppity that we think we're worth more than we truly are without the sweet influences of gospel and spirit and the Word of God. We are like snakes that will not be charmed no matter the skill of the charmer. And then when those folks or folks like that are in positions of authority, all of that difficulty is exacerbated, made worse. So then in verses 6 through 11, the balance of the psalm, we have this great imprecation then. First of all, we have the statement of who they are. Now the psalmist applies himself to the Lord regarding what the Lord would do. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Not only is that a statement of violence, that is a statement of disarming. Let's make sure we get both of those. It's not actually as vicious as it sounds, because the goal of the psalmist is to have those teeth of those young lions broken so that they cannot rip and tear anymore. It's not just break their teeth out like be mean to them. It's break their teeth out, stop them from doing the violence that they have done to the people of God. That's the point that's being made. It's never just raw vengeance in imprecations. Never just raw vengeance. It always has an eye to reclamation. I mean, let's put a better construction on this. What could we consider then what the psalmist is really asking for? What is David asking for? That these who have been doing harm to the people of God, persecuting them, and through force of authority and law, bringing them down, that they might lose that ability to do so. When he bends his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. That is those arrows. Again, a disarming. Let them melt away as waters which run continuously. Let them be cut in pieces as a snail which melteth. Let every one of them pass away. We don't have a lot of snails around here, at least not that I've noticed. Where I grew up in Southern California, we had a lot. And You know, those guys would get themselves out on the pavement during the summer sometimes, and that was it. They were done. Done for. They never made it back to the shade, never made it back to the moisture. This is what the psalmist is asking for, that they would no longer be able to harm the people of God. Like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, take them away as a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. And so these are strong imprecations, but remember that the sin that has been called out is also very strong. They seek to do harm to the people of God for their obedience. And notice then what the righteous do. They shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. Notice, not when he executes the vengeance. That's not us, right? Vengeance belongs to God. He rejoices, though, that God is vindicating his own name, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Now, this doesn't comport, this imprecatory psalm here. It doesn't comport well with the kind of Christianity that has been popular in many ages and perhaps even today, that ought to be, you know, that a tolerant or gentle kind of Christianity, in the sense that we lose all conviction. My dear brothers and sisters, we must never forget that sin, the persecution of God's people, the putting down of the church, the machinations of the enemy of our souls, listen, these are things that God hates. He hates them. And because he hates them, we should hate them too. It is difficult for us. Often we move off into a kind of sinful hatred rather than the upright hatred that the psalmist will write about. Do I not hate them with a perfect hatred? I count them mine enemies, he'll say in another psalm. Yet there is indeed this kind of rejoicing when God vindicates his holy name. All right, move on to Psalm 59 then. Want to be brief here as well. Notice, deliver me from mine enemies is how the psalm begins. We have to the chief musician, Altaskit, Miktam of David. That's exactly what we heard earlier. But now we add one more detail. When Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. Now we have a little more history. This is when David was under threat even in his own house. His own house was not safe. Right? This is probably having to do with 1 Samuel 19, when Saul was watching the house to see when David would come out. Remember, and David snuck away, and that's when he put some pillows and some goat's hair at the head of the bed and covered it all up and made it look like he was still in bed, so that Saul comes rushing in and Michal, Saul's daughter, is there, and you know, Saul feels betrayed that his daughter would so side with David rather than himself. You remember that? David was not safe in his own house. So we have more imprecations. But notice that when David was in trouble, he cried out unto the Lord, deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. We know David's history, but we know that history is played out in the lives of the people of God in every age, in every history. Now, maybe we've not felt the sting of that to an acute way that David had. Maybe no one's wanting yet to kill us for following the Lord. Maybe we felt a lesser sting. But what do we do in such times? We call up five people on our cell phones and look for commiseration. What's the first thing we ought to do? First thing we ought to do is cry out unto the Lord, deliver me. All the commiseration in the world that you can gain from calling people and trying to get them to help you, to feel sorry for you, and to identify with you, and all of those epithets that we put on that in this age. All of those are worthless without God's deliverance. Worthless. Seek that which is worthy first. Know the comforts of the Lord's deliverance first. So his enemies lie in wait against him. His trouble was not his own doing. He was wrongly pursued. Let's make sure that this is our lot as well. If we are persecuted, if there are ill feelings against us, let us make sure that it is not for any foolishness on our part, but it is for our obedience instead. Now, the Apostle Peter will speak to that in chapter 4 of his epistle. And once again, we note then the characterization of the wicked. They are proud and they are fearless. They are like dogs. They're like beasts. They are apart from reason. They are rapacious, proud, and ignorant of God. Notice in this psalm, we have them at the beginning and at the end walking around the city. In the first, they do so in a context that seems like they're threatening. Like threatening dogs outside the city. But then after David has prayed and has received the comforts of that ordinance, what does he say at the end of the psalm? He says, let them go about like dogs about the city. In other words, like those skinny little dogs that are deprived. Not like those dogs that we see at the beginning of the psalm that are threatening. Help me to see them, Lord, for who they are. They're doing the same thing. They're still growling and walking about the city. But help me to see them for who they are, as those deprived and wretched animals that really can do no harm at all. That would be the comparison from the front to the back of Psalm 59. So then, verse 10, the God of my mercy shall prevent me. Prevent in the Authorized Version often means to go before. He will go before me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. And then a most interesting prayer. Why does the Lord keep wicked people around? Why doesn't he just wipe the face of the earth from them so that all of us upright ones can just live, you know, peaceably? Why doesn't he do that? Because the Lord is making use of even the wicked for the sanctification of God's people. Listen to what David says. Don't slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power. Bring them down, O Lord, our shield. Interesting, isn't it? In fact, this is the very object lesson that we heard with regard to the dogs walking about the city. Help me to see them for who they are. Let me learn a good lesson from them and their threatening. And so David prays, slay them not, lest my people forget. And then he puts that into practice himself. Consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah. Did you hear that? God rules in Jacob, but unto the ends of the earth. And then at evening, let them return. Let them make a noise like a dog. And then David's close here in verses 16 and 17. They're growling, they're grudging, but as for me, I will sing of thy power. I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. In the midst of his persecution, not having been delivered of it, David finds himself singing to the Lord for his defense and protection. All right, well, thus ends Psalms 58 and 59.